We come today to our final in our studies on the eldership, and we've been looking at the elder's character in our first of our sermons, and how an elder is someone who indeed should be growing up, maturing, and becoming more like Christ. We looked last week at the elder and the Word, and the elder should be someone devoted to the Word of God, privately and among God's people, and indeed their lives being changed by the Word. And today we come to the subject of the elder and prayer. And let me just remind you of those very famous words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And every true believer will accept and know that that is true. It's a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But I'd say also nearly every believer knows prayer can be a struggle. We know that prayer is a privilege. We know it's a powerful channel of blessing. But prayer is also something we all will struggle with. The devil will do his best to make us struggle, because he hates it when his people will pray. And so what we're going to look at today is, as we think of the elder and prayer, are some biblical examples of prayerful leaders. And I hope this will be a message today in the times we're living in, but it'll be a great encouragement to us. So we're going to look at a number of leaders in the Bible and their example of prayer. First of all, we have Abraham's pleading in Genesis chapter 18. And there, Abraham is told of the forthcoming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, two very evil cities, and he seeks to intercede for those cities before the Lord. And you remember how he asked God, if there's 50 righteous men, will you spare the city? God says he would. What about 45, 40, 30, 20, and finally 10? And Abraham persists in praying to the Lord. Abraham was seen as the first, maybe great leader of God's people and the father of those of faith. And here we see that he's represented as a man of prayer, pleading on behalf of others who needed to be saved. And good spiritual leaders, indeed, all good Christians, will seek to be people who intercede for others. One of the main roles of an elder is to plead for the salvation of others and to plead for the needs of those who are saved. Elders are to be those who will indeed, like Abraham, plead for the lost, plead for God's people, that God will be there. So Abraham's the first great example. And you know, in many senses, you think, well, Abraham's prayer wasn't answered. God didn't spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. But you remember what happened? And this was surely in response to Abraham's prayer. Lot and his family were saved. The second character we're coming across is Moses' priority. And this is a story you find in Exodus 17. There, Joshua was leading the children of Israel to fight against the Amalekites. And Joshua was fighting in the valley below, and you know this story, I'm sure, well. Up in the hills, Abraham stood with his arms raised. And arms raised in the Old Testament was one of the common positions of prayer. And you remember how when he lowered his hands, the Israelites would begin to lose the battle. When the hands went up again, they began to win the battle once more. And then he was getting tired, and so Aaron and Hur, they held up his hands at their side to secure him and to keep his hands up, to keep him in that position of prayer. And Joshua and the Israelites won the battle below. Now, you would have expected Moses, the great leader of God's people, to have led them into battle. But no. We learn here that the most important thing for a leader of God's people is to pray to God for the victory to take place. Do we believe that not only prayer is important, but indeed prayer is the most important thing in seeing God's work accomplished and seeing God's will being done? In the life of our church, in the life of your family, in the life of our community, in the life of the world, when we act, we will get what man can achieve. When we pray, we will get what God can achieve. At this time of crisis for God's people, Moses was involved in what he knew was the most important thing of all. And the elders must see that praying privately, praying for their districts, for their congregation, for their people, praying for the ministry, the organizations, and what's going on in the life of the church, elders will know privately, and then coming together with God's people. Those things have to be absolute priorities. An elder's role is a role of prayer. Then thirdly, we come to our good friend Daniel, who we're thinking about a moment or two. And we think of Daniel's persistence in Daniel chapter 6. Even while living in exile in a foreign country, in a hostile country, Daniel continued his practice of praying 3 times a day. And he prayed towards Jerusalem. And the reason he did that was that when the temple in Jerusalem, which Solomon had seen built, when it was being dedicated, Solomon had asked God that if God's people are taken into exile and they would turn back to God and pray towards Jerusalem, that God would hear from heaven their prayers and God would restore them. And that is why Daniel was praying towards Jerusalem. He was remembering that promise given to Solomon. And he was praying for God to work for the good of his people. Now, Daniel is put in this horrendous position as his opponents in Babylon, because they were jealous of him, had forced the king to pass this law that the only one to be prayed to for the next 30 days should be the king and not to any other god. They did this because they knew Daniel's practice. I wonder, are people aware that we're people of prayer? For elders, this is so important that they're seen as men of prayer. Indeed, all of God's people, we should be people of prayer. Anyone who would break the law in Daniel's situation was going to be cast into this pit of lions, and they would face a terrible death. What would Daniel do? To listen to the king's decree and not to pray and so stay safe? Or would he defy the king's decree in order to be faithful to God, which could mean terrible death? And here's the amazing thing about Daniel. The threat of death was not going to stop Daniel from persisting in prayer. How do we measure up to such an example? Even the threat of death wouldn't stop his practice of praying. In your own devotional life at home, how easily are you put off that time being alone with the Lord in prayer? Coming to the prayer meetings. Men, if you weren't there on Friday night past, what put you off coming to the prayer meeting? The last women's prayer meeting, women who weren't there. What put you off going to the prayer meeting? Coming this Saturday night to Zoom prayer meeting, what will put you off? Daniel would not even be put off prayer with the threat of death. Wow, what a challenge to us. What a challenge to us. Elders need to be men as spiritual leaders who will be like Daniel, persistent in their praying and not easily put off. Just let me say in a wee aside. Here Daniel defied the government. Some people have said, you know, churches should remain open and defy the government in these days. Well, the government is not seeking to stop worship. And it's sad that churches have to close, but they're not, in a sense, getting against religion. It's a wider thing. And we still can worship. But I think it's important for those who can't worship and join us online, that we do have opportunity to do it otherwise. And that's why I've said earlier, and I mean this, that we will give you opportunity to worship if you can't do it online. It's important, indeed, that we do that, because there are some things higher, even than a government. The fourth thing we see here is Jesus' passion, the fourth person. And in different parts of the gospel, we have recorded for us Jesus going to be alone to spend time in prayer, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes in the evening time, sometimes even through the night, Jesus prayed. Jesus, as the perfect leader, is an example to all who would be leaders within the church. He spent an awful lot of time praying. Now, I said I've been reading through Mark's Gospel this past week, and one of the things, particularly if you read a chapter at a time in Mark's Gospel, is just how busy Jesus' life was. And there's times he just didn't seem to have a minute. People were always coming to him. Yet he made sure he would protect his time to pray. Praying for people, praying for the disciples, praying for himself, praying for guidance, praying for strength to remain faithful to his Heavenly Father. Those were some of the things Jesus prayed for. But one of the most crucial things about Jesus praying was his passion, which he had, which could be seen clearly in Gethsemane. As he prayed three times to his Father, and he prayed, "Not what I will, but your will be done." He prayed for the grace that he needed to go to the cross, and so with passion which caused him even to sweat drops of blood, he prayed. And I think that should show us no one has ever prayed with the passion that Jesus prayed with there in Gethsemane. The thought of failing to go to the cross caused him to sweat drops of blood. So earnest was he to go to the cross, as he knew it was the only way that you and I could be saved from our sin. And if you're not a Christian here today, think of that passion of Jesus in Gethsemane, pleading with sweats of blood that he would indeed be faithful. And surely if we are to follow Jesus' example, we must be those who have a passion for prayer. I think that's one of the things that is probably lacking today, a lack of passion in our praying. Elders need to help set the spiritual temperature of our church. They need to be men who are earnest and passionate in praying. Earnest and passionate praying in their homes. Earnest and passionate praying at prayer meetings. Jesus' passion to be an example to us all. Someone visited St. Peter's Church in Dundee, which was the church where Robert Murray McShane was minister. And they were around the church and they asked, you know, what was McShane's secret? McShane died, I think, at the age of 29 or 30, young man. When he got into the pulpit and people looked at him and the sense of holiness about him, people wept and mourned for their sin, even by looking at him. And this person asked, what was the secret to McShane's prayer life or to his ministry? They were taken into the minister's room where McShane spent a long time praying. They were told to get down onto their knees. And then they were told, weep, weep. That was his secret. The fifth example there is the apostles' pattern. When we think of the example of Jesus, it's not surprising that the apostles would follow his pattern in having prayer as a great priority. The prayer life of Jesus, you remember, moved him to ask Jesus to teach him how to pray, and he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And when we come to the book of Acts, the disciples wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commanded them to, and they're all engaged in praying. And there in Acts 1, they're all listed by name as being there at the prayer meeting. When Peter and John were arrested after healing the lame man in the temple, we read in Acts 4 that when they were released, they met with the apostles and the believers to unite in praying together for courage, and the house was shook by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 6, the apostles are faced with this challenge of some of the widows being neglected in the distribution of food, but instead of doing that themselves and being distracted, to say, from their ministry of the word and prayer, they appoint seven deacons to look after those things. Their priority would remain the word and prayer. it's a very clear pattern in the book of Acts. The apostles were committed to private prayer. You can see that in Paul's letters, but also committed to meeting with God's people to pray. And these examples are surely enough to convince us all that prayer is a vital part of the spiritual leader's role in the New Testament, as it was in the Old Testament. Prayer is the expected work of all believers, but prayer is a special work of elders. Being called to the eldership means being called to a role of praying. Then our final example here is James's power in the book of James. I'm going to read that now. I forgot to read it earlier. So much happening today. So I'm going to read here from James chapter 5 and verses 13 to 20. And here in James 5, this is what we read, James 5 and 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain in the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And there, indeed, James is saying that anyone who's sick, anyone in that challenging situation, and undoubtedly here very serious illness, they're to call for the elders to come and to pray for them. Anoint them with oil, which is probably the common medical practice of the day. Alongside that, they were to pray, indeed, for these people. And I think today, when people are sick, they need to engage in the medical practice that are available, and also encourage the church and ask the church and the church leaders particularly to pray for them. And here we see that one of the main roles of an elder, again, is to pray for people, to pray for people who are in need. So each of these six examples, you can't get away from, spiritual leaders are to be people of prayer. Abraham, Moses, Daniel, Jesus, the apostles, and then what James has for us here. We're to be men of prayer. Now, in James here, we're told about Elijah, and he says he was a man like us, a nature like us. In other words, Elijah was just an ordinary man, and he prayed to God, and for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. He prayed again, it did rain. And what James is saying to us, listen, folks, he says the power of God will be let loose, and God's purposes will be fulfilled through the praying of his people. You don't have to be a great person to see prayers answered. You have to pray to a great God. And who is to lead the people of God in this? Who are singled out for this? Elders. Let's think of some implications just as we finish. The implications of this teaching in prayer. First of all, elders should be men of prayer. And when you're looking for who you're going to nominate to be an elder, it needs to be a man of prayer. Secondly, elders should pray for their people. And here's a challenge for those of us who are elders. And indeed, here's a challenge for those who will be appointed. They have to be men who are prepared to set aside time to pray for their people, to engage in this, do a list, and pray a wee bit every day for their people. Thirdly, elders should pray with their people. Now, I know for some elders this can be a great challenge. I know in some situations, elders have got into homes, are very quiet, shy, nervous men, and they have written out their prayers. I know elders have done that. And I can tell you that will be greatly used by God. When I was in Moy and Benburb, I would go to a wee prayer meeting in Benburb, and sometimes there was just myself and 3 women at the prayer meeting. And 2 of the women didn't pray out loud. So it was challenging enough at prayer meeting. But then what happened, with the encouragement of the lady who did pray out loud, the other women would then come with their prayers written out. Two lovely Christian women. And I tell you, it would have brought you to tears. And I'm sure God in heaven would accomplish so much through the praying of those faithful women. Prayer written out, how God would use it, because even though it was written out, it was truly from the heart. And the final thing is, elders should be at the prayer meeting. Sometimes I'm in conversation with other ministers, and this happened maybe not even so long ago, and ministers were lamenting that so many of their elders did not go to the prayer meeting. And I could say that, you know, every elder in our church does go to the midweek. Every elder does. And I think that's wonderful. That's the way it should be. Every elder should be at the midweek. And when it comes to voting for new elders, you should be voting for those who are men of prayer, men who are at the midweek, and men who are at the men's prayer meeting. Maybe some of our elders need to improve on being at the men's prayer meeting. Those who are called to be elders, and if you are approached to be an elder, you need to be ready for this. You need to be someone committed to the place of prayer. I know we have a lot of good people in the church, and they can't go for different reasons. They can't go maybe to the midweek or to the prayer meeting, and they need to work that out with God themselves. And they can serve in the church in many different ways. But they aren't called to be elders. Elders are called to be men of prayer privately and leading their people at the prayer meetings in the place of prayer. There's no way around this. So may God guide you as you think of the eldership. You're not just thinking, who are six good men that I can vote for? Don't do that. You could vote for 50 good men in this place. Don't do that. You're not looking for six good men. You aren't deciding who are to be elders. God decides. You're looking for men of godly character. You're looking at men of the word, and you can see their commitment to it, and men of prayer. That's the role of the elder. So look for men like that. You might find six. You might find five. You might find four. But only vote for those who fulfill not William's criteria, God's criteria in his word. Men of character, men of the word, men of prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray, O gracious God, that you would guide us. Guide us, first of all, that we would be men and women of prayer, that we would see prayer as a vital role for us truly, O God, to be involved in. And Father, even think of those examples of Abraham and Moses, the example of Daniel, the example indeed of Jesus, the apostles, and how indeed, Father, amazing things were accomplished, not through great people praying, but through ordinary people praying to a great God. And Lord, when it comes to this eldership election, guide us to the men of your choice, men of character, men of the word, men of prayer. And dear Lord, we just pray that within our church you'd raise up more and more such men and women, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, we need more and more men and women throughout our congregation who are godly character, people of your word, people of prayer. For such grace we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.